Hi, my name is Shannon, and I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ, but I struggle with food addiction. Now, you may not have an addiction, but you may have a hurt or some kind of hang-up in your life or a habit, and you may be struggling to move ahead in areas of your life. So you saw Linda lift this up and talk about Celebrate Recovery. It is for anybody who needs to move on in their life, to move that's stuck. And again, like I say, it can be all kinds of things. You may have been through a divorce and have been very hurt. You may have an addiction. You may be just stuck with something. And this is actually a 12-step program. It's taken from the 12-step program, but it is a Christian one, based on the Word of God and the fact that it is Jesus Christ who makes the transformation, sets us free. And if that's something you're just curious about, we invite you to come on October the 25th here in the morning. It's from 10 until noon. There'll be a light breakfast. What did I say? Let me stand corrected and say the 15th. And if you show up on the 25th, there won't be breakfast. In fact, there might not even be anybody at the door to let you in. But anyhow, so I really encourage you, if you have an inkling of interest, to just come on the 15th. It's just an information meeting. It's going to go way beyond what I'm sharing with you here this morning. And you will be blessed to come and discover that, more about that. Let me see what it says, because it is 10:30. I said 10. Now, you got to remember that we sometimes say, or I do, not everybody, it's usually me, because we're here at 10 setting things up, so that's that's the time that's stuck in my head. But I went with Pam Brody, who is kind of going to, who's spearheading this here in our church, yesterday to a training meeting in Red Deer, and we were really blessed by what was shared and what we heard. So just give you a taste of what it's like. I love the fact that their whole focus isn't, hello, this is my problem. It's, this is my name. This is who I am. I'm a child of God. I serve him. This is the problem I'm dealing with. Their identity is in Jesus, not in the problem. So it's awesome. Anyhow, okay. My goodness, it's good to see your faces this morning. Hi, I didn't get over to see Bob and Cecile, so it's wonderful to see your faces here. I see them on Facebook, but I don't see their faces here. That's just lovely. Anyway, let's move forward. I titled my message this morning, and I'm hopefully, A Moment of Grief. I want to tell you, Donna, thank you for your worship session this morning. And as we wrap up this morning, you'll understand why I say that. It's been a hard week for most of us. See, I needed this. Because a decision was made that is hard on all of us. It's hard to see Ralph and Jamie go. And it's hard to continue on as if nothing has happened. Carry on as usual. And for those who aren't aware, we've had a vote about a month ago where we recognized we could no longer afford to have two full-time pastors. And last week, a vote went to the congregation as to which pastor they would like to stay. Bittersweet for me. Which is why Ralph and Jamie are not here this morning. So for us to continue on as if nothing happened, carry on as usual, would be to deny the truth of how we're feeling. Now we know that the Lord is here, And he is with us in the midst of all this transition and change. But we still have to walk through the emotions and the grieving that we have. I myself am grieving a 26-year relationship with my mentor, my coworker. He's been a friend and a minister who genuinely believes that women are called to ministry. He encouraged me and believed in me and my calling to ministry. We all have memories of Ralph. For some of you, like me, it's many, many years of friendship and fellowship. Many of your children grew up with Ralphs, and you experienced empty nests the same time he did. We, as a church family, experienced the shock and the sudden loss of Hilda, and we walked with Ralph and his family through that. We watched a new relationship grow with Jamie and celebrated with them when they were married. We as a family have done so much and been through so much together that this is hard. And we grieve as we say goodbye to them. Now, some of you have not had as much time or experience with Ralph, but that doesn't change the fact that it's hard for you also. He was our pastor. And I don't believe that any of us wanted Ralph to be leaving in this way. In fact, I had imagined that it would come with a new call to something fresh and fun, or maybe he would just announce he was retiring from full-time ministry. As you know, pastors don't completely retire. A call is a call. Till you're home with the Lord. We would have this time to celebrate, probably with tears, but now it's tears of grief and grieving. Sorrow, sadness or anguish due to loss. Pure sorrow is a simple sadness over losing something that is important to us. It may be a loss of a person in death or a physical separation, the loss of material things such as a home or property, the loss of a desired condition such as the loss of one's health, employment, or even reputation. It may be the loss of emotional security due to a hurt or a conflict in a relationship. Pure sorrow is a simple sadness over losing something that's important to us. And Ralph and Jamie are important to us. And so we grieve. It has been difficult these past few days to watch Ralph start to pack up his office to move on. But in our sorrow and the grief, there is peace and comfort and deep compassion from the Lord. He's here in the midst of our sorrow, or at least mine. I know he is in yours. And even as we mourn because of this change, we can be full of faith because we're in God's presence, who desires is to be with us and feel our sorrow with us, but then restore us to our joy. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." So why is there comfort in our grief? It's because of the character of our God. He is always faithful to all of his children, to Ralph and Jamie as well as us here. Jesus also said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. So do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." And I speak this morning, maybe not so much for us, but for Ralph and Jamie. I ask that you pray for them, that their hearts not be troubled, and that they not fear. For God is with them. He is their provider. He is their strength. He is the one directing their paths. Rebecca or Trevor, do you want to shut my mic off a minute? I need to blow my nose and I don't. Okay. That's it. No more tears. Yeah, not today anyway. Last week, it was a somber environment here. And I want to thank you, Kate, because she came over to me before the vote last week to encourage me. And she told me to remember something. She said, remember Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Thanks, Kate, for being God's voice in that moment to remind me. And now to remind all of us, his plans are prosperous. His plans are hope-filled. His plans, because they're plans, have a future. And that's for Ralph and Jamie as well, for our family here at Community Church. Now, we started this morning talking about grieving, and Jesus' promises are my message, I shouldn't say this morning. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. I'm going to share with you in the NIV as well how Luke, the Gospel of Luke, put it. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Do you hear what's in store for us? We will laugh. Can you see how the message or the worship this morning is starting to direct where the Lord is directing? It was a worship and joyful morning. This week, I called my best friend. You guys know my best friend, Becky, beautiful, believing, worshiping Christian. And I was sharing with her, you know, my struggle. How many of you who walked in my office said, how are you doing? And I'm not the one leaving. So I called my friend. She, yeah, how are you doing? And, you know, cried and whatever, and shared a bit of the struggle this week. And she began to pray for me. And a word from the Lord came to her, and she said this and shared this. The Lord is going to restore your joy. He is restoring the joy at Camrose Community Church, a joy that hasn't been felt in a long time. The Holy Spirit is working a new thing here. So let go of the things of the past with fond memories. Now I need to qualify that. This is what she shared. With fond memories, and hold on to the new thing the Lord is doing now. Blessed are you who weep, for you will laugh. We're in transition, and God is doing something new. You know, back at the beginning of 2020, God gave me a word for that year, and I've shared it with you many, many times, and I'm going to keep sharing it. Because that was verse 19 of Isaiah 43. And then verse 18 was for 2021. As I came into 2022, I said, Lord, what is the word for me? And he said, hold on to those two words. Not knowing where I'd be today. Where we would be today. Do you want to know what it says? Let's do the reminder here. Isaiah 43:18. Forget the former things and do not dwell in the past. Hello. Do forget the former things and do not dwell in the past. 19, see, I am doing a new thing. Now it's springing up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Streams in the desert. Oh, Lord. God is moving us into a new season and a new era. Now it springs up. Do you perceive it? You know what? I'm certain of something. That most of you have been feeling this promise deep inside. Something's coming, Lord. Your spirit recognizes it. Something's coming. And I'm going to say this in 1 Chronicles 12:34. It says, the sons of Issachar discerned the times and knew what Israel was to do. If you're feeling that in there, you're discerning the times. And you're going to know where the Lord is leading us. Because we are also part of the children of Israel. The sons of Abraham. The daughters of Abraham. Last week, before worship started, David Guthrie stood up with his shofar and blew the shofar. And following that, Shirley came up and shared with us about the start of Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year. Well, this week I had someone share with me, they said this, it may seem like the vote just happened to be on the same day, the start of the Jewish New Year, but I see God's hand in it. I believe he orchestrated it, and it wasn't just a chance thing. She was shared a little bit more and said, you know, I believe the Lord has ushered in a new year for us, or the new for us, with that blast of the shofar and the start of his new year. We're in transition. And transitions are vital as you move on from one place to another. And they're not always easy. In fact, transitional seasons are often challenging and they make us feel very vulnerable. And why is that? Well, first of all, the grace for where we have been living is leaving and making room for the grace of for what is to come. And that's why we need to let go of the past. To take hold of the now and take hold of where the grace is leading us now, where God's grace is leading us now. It's hard because we don't have the full blueprint yet. But I do say, yet. It's coming. And it's hard for transition because we're so familiar with what we had, but yet we're going to go into something unfamiliar. The past feels comfortable, while the unknown makes us feel vulnerable and fragile, and maybe even a little bit suspicious. Is this really God? Transition happened all the time in the Old Testament. Abraham transitioned at the age of 75. How many of you think you're too old to transition? 75. When he left his home and his family to follow the living God. How many of you want to follow the living God where he's leading? Age has nothing to do with it. Then there's Esther. Let's go the other age end. Here's this young teenager in her uncle's humble house who by no choice of her own is taken into the palace of the king. But she rises up to become queen and saves her people. Talk about a transition. How about David? He transitioned a couple of times. There he is, the youngest of the boy of Jesse, kind of, yeah, you just stay over there in the sheep field. Young shepherd who becomes a great and mighty warrior and then a great king. David is said to be after God's own heart. That's some transition. Then there's Paul in the New Testament. Look at this guy. He was a dogmatic religious leader persecuting Christians. He had one murdered. Well, probably more than one. But we know of that, of the stoning of Stephen, where he held the cloaks of the people while they stoned him to death. And how do we know him now? As being one of the greatest Christian apostles of the church. That's some transition. So can we say that transition is a good thing? You guys are really quiet. thinking. Transition is a good thing, even for Ralph and Jamie. I asked the Lord about this. I said, Papa, you love Ralph and Jamie as much as you love me and us here. And we're all following you and serving you. How is this going to be good for us both? And the Lord just said to me, they're just changing lanes. That we're all headed the same way, down the same road, but they're just in a different lane now. Transition is a good thing. And we're going to continue to keep our focus on Jesus. We're going to keep listening to his voice and obeying his guiding and leading. And we're going to come out of this grieving with rejoicing in what the Lord has done for us all. We maybe can't see it, but my goodness, is our God good? Is he faithful? Does he bless his children? That's right. Well, I don't want any of us to think, and I hope Ralph and Jamie don't either, that we've kicked them to the curb. I want us to believe and pray for them that they've got a promotion into something bigger and better, and that they have no idea, just as we have no idea, but we know who we serve. And he is faithful, and he is good, and he's going to bring the joy. And we're going to go from weeping to laughing as we see the Lord move us ahead into what he's bringing. It's a good day, amen? Because this is the day that the Lord has made. So we're going to and be glad in it. This morning we have taken a moment to grieve. I'm not denying that it was there. I mean, you saw it. And you don't need to deny it in you either. But it is a time to take a moment, but then follow on to where God is leading us. I want to wrap up this morning with a verse. Changing lanes. This says the Message Bible. My mistake, it is the Passion Translation. The mighty spirit of the Lord Yahweh is wrapped around me. This is us as well, because we're his anointed. Around me, because Yahweh has anointed me, has a messenger to preach the good news to the poor. Is that who you are? Amen. He's anointed. He has wrapped himself around you to do this. He has sent me ahead, me to heal the wounds of the brokenhearted. Are you ready to do that? To tell the captives what? You're free. And to tell the prisoners, be free from your darkness. Let's move on. I am sent to announce the new season of Yahweh's grace. Woo! Do you hear that? The new season of Yahweh's grace and a time of God's recompense on his enemies. Let's just take a moment and think about that. What is he talking about there? Are we going out and slaying people? No. Who are your enemies right now? Is it sickness? Is it disease? Is it disability? Is it lack of something? Is it struggle with relationship? Are there fears in your life? This is a season where God is bringing recompense to your enemies. Right? Hello? Think about that. Are you receiving it? To comfort all who mourn, to strengthen those crushed by despair who mourn in Zion, to give them beautiful bouquets in place of ashes, the oil of bliss or the oil of joy instead of tears, the mantle of joyous praise. Hey, we started that this morning, right? Oh, yeah. Joyous praise instead of the spirit of heaviness. Because of this, we will be known as mighty oaks of righteousness, planted by Yahweh as living displays of his glory. Take a look around you. Go ahead. Turn around. Look at the people by, you know, don't always look at the back of their heads. Do you see before you oaks of righteousness who are displaying the glory of God? Yeah, that's you. That's because you're a planting of the Lord. It's not what you did or what. It's his planting. And the glory of the Lord is on us because we're his planting and we're displaying his glory to the world. Amen? Amen. Why don't you stand up with me as I finish up here? Whoops, sorry. Rebecca, could you bring it back? The last slide there. Sorry, I did something. There. We are changing lanes. So let's keep our eyes on the road ahead of us, not in the rearview mirror. Papa's has great things ahead for us. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, Papa, Lord, we just want to take a moment right now. We're going to speak over Ralph and Jamie. We bless them. Father, prosper them in all areas. Father, we thank you that you are speaking to them and giving them vision for the new direction and the new place you're heading them, leading them. Father, we pray that all their needs be met. All of their needs be met, from health to provision. All of it. And we thank you. You're faithful to your son and your daughter. Father, we speak over Sam's church, and we thank you. Well, it's not Sam's church, it's your church, but the church out in Gwynn, and we bless it now, Father. We're thankful for the great report of last week. They had 40. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Father, you are so good. And so, Father, we're even saying, Lord, thank you for what you're going to do here, how you're leading us and guiding us. And we receive the word that we will go forth with laughing and joy and praising, for you are good. You have met all our needs and will continue to do so. Abundance is ours because our God is abundant God. Lord, I just pray, Lord, as we move from this moment of grieving to rejoicing, that as we leave this place, that we will go forth rejoicing. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're on and within your people to speak to them and give them visions and dreams for where you're leading us. And again, Father, you deserve all the glory. So do you, Jesus, especially you, Jesus, for what you have done for us. And again, we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are our seal for the good things of God. As we go this week, we give you glory and praise and honor. And we just say thank you again, Papa. You are so good. Amen and amen. Amen. Bless you guys. Have a fabulous week. Next week is Thanksgiving. And we're going to, I know, it's here already. And we're just going to praise the Lord and give him thanks and glory. Amen.